Hello and welcome to the 11th episode of the I Brew My Own Coffee podcast, the podcast for people who care about coffee. I'm your host, Alex Carpenter, and in this week's episode, we finish our chat with Brian Sheely. If you missed the first part of this episode, you can go to our website at ibrewmyowncoffee.com/podcast and find that first part. In this episode, we talk a little bit about home roasting and Brian's unique indexing system for all the coffees that he gets. Without further ado, let's get into the episode.
You get a lot of coffees in, and you've kind of gone even more nerdy with this and created kind of an indexing system for all the coffees you have. Can you tell us a little bit about this? Because if people are listening to the podcast, if you followed us on Instagram, like I said, you might have seen Brian post one week where he had a shot from his iPad where it showed his kind of system that he uses to keep track of all these different coffees.
Yeah. So before I talk about that, let me just say, I totally agree with you on your last point about, you know, coffee does not have to be this fussy.
Yeah.
When I first started out, like, you know, I was happy enough with my little gooseneck and a V60, like to brew a great cup of coffee every day. And then I started realizing, like, maybe I should start using a scale. And, you know, so it's definitely like you can start anywhere and wherever you are. That's it. So long as you're making great coffee or coffee that you're happy with, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. All the rest of this is just fussiness and silliness. But yeah, I mean, I kind of got to the point where, like I said, you know, when I first started kind of getting back into specialty coffee, I was listening to a lot of like tech podcasts and things. I think before the show, we were kind of talking about some of the similarities we have in where we started, but I used to listen to a lot of tech podcasts, and they would talk about Tonks a lot. And before Blue Bottle, if you're familiar, Blue Bottle bought out Tonks. Tonks used to be this subscription service where you could every month they would say, or actually, I think it was every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Was it every 2 weeks? Or every I'm pretty month? Sure it was yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks they would send you a new bag of coffee from somewhere. They would roast it. It was from them, but they would source the green, and then they would roast it and send it out. I started to drink a lot of coffee that way and experience a lot of different regions and places that I'd never even had coffee from before through Tonks. Around the same time, I think I was also getting introduced to some other roasters from my Misto Box subscription. So every month for that one, you would get 4 different samples of coffee, and they would come. So I'd kind of get like introduced to different roasters and things. So I have all this history in coffee that's kind of gotten lost. And about, you know, middle of last year, I started realizing that I've consumed a lot of coffee and I don't really remember a lot of it. And so, you know, I did for a long time like write down little notes about coffee on text files and things that I kept around in my Dropbox account. But it was just never organized, and I never really cataloged it. And so I could never really say like definitively, oh yeah, you know, I really enjoy coffees from that region, or, you know, I really enjoy coffees from that roaster, because I don't really remember any of them. So yeah, about 9 months ago or so, I decided that I was going to create a coffee tracking spreadsheet on my iPad using Apple's iWork numbers spreadsheet software. So it's freely available. It synchronizes across all of my devices on iCloud. And so, you know, I started with the whole purpose of just like trying to set out to remember the coffees that I've consumed, and then also remember the roasters that I've purchased from. And it, you know, I'm a super big nerd, and, you know, as a software engineer tends to be. So I definitely took it a little overboard and added way too much detail into this spreadsheet, just to kind of keep track of everything that I'm brewing, all the coffees that I have in house right now. And so what ended up happening after creating this spreadsheet, I realized, like, you know, I can edit quickly at a glance, I can look to see exactly how much coffee I have in my house at any given moment. And I can tell exactly how old it is, and I can tell exactly where it came from, who gave it to me, or what roaster provided it to me. And then, you know, I started doing all kinds of statistics and stuff like that on this information. And, you know, it's been really handy to have a whole list of all the coffees that you've ever ordered and then have a whole list of all the times you ever brewed that coffee. So I don't know.
I guess, like,
how do you keep track of coffee? I've never actually asked another person how they keep track of coffee.
Well, since we've started the I Brew My Own Coffee site, we've been drinking some coffees outside of our home state, and so far we haven't gone nearly as far as you, but it really is inspiring us to.
Not many people have.
Yeah, I'm just like you, or I like kind of nerding out over this stuff and trying to do different things, because like you said, it is our hobby, you know, like we like to explore different areas, you know, it's not all about just brewing coffee. It's the experiences and the relationships we meet and, exchanging coffees and all that type of stuff. But
yeah, for sure.
On our site, we just started on, we have ibrewmyowncoffee.com/diary, and that just, we just have a listing of the coffees we just started recording on there. So that's from this year. And all we do right now is list the coffee name, the roaster, and then the region where it's from. But like you said, since talking to you and chatting a little bit before we started recording the podcast, I would like to some way just kind of have a recollection of what we thought about this coffee. And like you said, doing a spreadsheet would make sense a little bit better than what we have going on. But
yeah, so I mean, Brian Beike, I'm going to end up name dropping him a bunch from Abandoned Coffee. Like, you know, he was a big inspiration for me in even creating this list in the first place. Cause he was on episode 6, I think.
Yeah.
You go back and see, his site, and now he's doing reviews on I Brew My Own Coffee too. And you go back and look and see like what information he's actually recording and tracking and, you know, like he even was, I think he said on his episode, like, you know, he only records all this information sort of throughout the process of enjoying the coffee. So he'll be, you know, drinking it and kind of evaluating what he thinks about it. And then, oh, okay. He'll jot something down here and there. And that's kind of what I ended up doing with this spreadsheet too. Like I didn't want to make it too involved. So I wanted to automate as much of the stuff as I could. So every time I actually go brew a coffee, like, you know, I just say what today's date is, whether I've brewed it or not, and then what method I used, and then what starting amount, how much water I poured. And then essentially from there, everything else is just a series of drop-down menus that I fill out about like maybe what grinder I used, what filter I used. And then I have a whole section in there about notes. So if I have any notes about the aroma, or I have any notes about what the specific flavor was, or what I thought about the body of the coffee and or how it finished after it was sort of done. You know, it's kind of this just free form series of notes that I have. Certainly probably not to the level of other coffee professionals who might get super, super specific, but
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just nice to be able to look back like even a couple months ago and know exactly what I thought about you know, the Nom de Plume's Duramina Cooperative coffee that I brewed on January 6th. Like, you know, mm-hmm. just looking back through my spreadsheet, like I know exactly, you know, how I brewed that coffee, how many times I brewed, that coffee on a specific brew method, you know, whether or not I'll use any of that information in the long run, I don't know, but, it's nice to have it. And it's nice to know, you know, when I start seeing people on Instagram or people on Twitter talking to people and they're like, oh yeah, you know, I just got this coffee from Rwanda and I really enjoyed it. I'm like, oh, you know, I think I've actually had that coffee, and I can go back and be like, oh yeah, that it's a different name. You know, they used a different name, but it's actually from the same co-op, or it's, you know, produced by the same farm or whatever. So you can kind of, compare notes at that point and be like, yeah, I really enjoyed that on the Chemex. It was pretty great. Or, you know, whatever. Just kind of gives you a way to recall all mm-hmm. the things that you've been doing in your brewing.
What?
So
we were talking a little bit beforehand, and you're kind of listing off a couple of fun stats about it. How many coffees have you consumed since you started recording these?
Okay. So let's see, stats and notes. My total coffees brewed, as well as espressos, since I've been recording for my spreadsheet has been 392.
Wow.
So I've brewed 392 times. This year alone, I've brewed 186 times and with a total weight of 3.4 kilograms of coffee.
Wow.
So I've actually, this year alone, though, although I've brewed 3.4 kilograms, I've actually received 8.7 kilograms, either purchased or received as gifts or, you know, whatever. So, you know, you kind of go through and you're like, well, where's the rest of it going? And then I also keep track of how much coffee I gift out to people.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause like, if you follow me on Instagram, you see, like, I get a lot of coffee and I buy a lot of coffee and I get a lot of coffee sent to me. And so the common question is like, how do you drink all that coffee? Like, well, I don't drink all that coffee. Like, I take a certain percentage of the coffee that I end up getting, things that I enjoy, things that I think other people might enjoy. And just through sort of the relationships and connections that I have with people on Instagram and Twitter and, you know, social media in general, you know, I'll swap coffee with people. I'll vac pack up a bunch of coffee and ship it out to, you know, somebody on the East Coast or somebody up in Washington or something like that. I mean, you know, I've been given a lot of coffee by people. So I kind of feel like it's responsible and helpful and just fun in general to share coffee with other people. So that's kind of something that started recently. But yeah, you know, I end up keeping track of exactly how much coffee I even send out to people, which is kind of cool.
That's awesome. We just sent, kind of started doing a coffee exchange a few times too. And that's, I guess, one of the fun parts of this whole experience too, is just being able to find some unique, really small batch, like roasters that you probably never would have heard of before, and just tasting some coffee that you're just blown away by. And like, that whole experience is really pretty cool.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I had one of the first people who reached out to me recently to do a coffee swap with was, the guy over at Proletariat Coffee on Instagram. He was like, yeah, send me something from your area and I'll send you something from mine. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And so I opened up the box when it came and it was a bag of Parlor. I'm like, I've never even tried Parlor before, but I've, you know, obviously seen a lot about them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I brewed up that Kenya for a whole week after that and just explored it on all the different brew methods. And that was really fun. Just introduction to a roaster I've never actually tried before. And then I sent him, locally, just these two super cool coffee nerds here in town started up a roaster called Nom de Plume. And so I sent him a Kenya that they actually competed with. And he brewed that up and went pretty bananas over it too. So it was just cool. Like, you find a coffee that you really enjoy, send it to somebody who'd never even have an opportunity to try it. Like actually just recently, I think I posted about it yesterday. A guy named Tim from Hamburg, Germany sent me my first international coffee swap, which is really cool. I ended up getting an Ethiopian from him, and then I also got a coffee from Brazil that was a Cup of Excellence winner. Two crazy coffees that are super good, and I've been enjoying them so far. But I never would have ordered from this roaster in my whole life. You know, I would never reach out to like Germany to go order this coffee. But I mean, it came over, and I'm like really impressed with these two bags. So I hope he's impressed with the two bags I sent too.
Awesome. I've heard good things about Nom de Plume, so I'm sure he wouldn't be disappointed in that, hopefully.
Yeah, those guys are pretty rad. I'm kind of excited about what they're doing.
Very so cool. Well, like you said, you get all these coffees in, and you mentioned it earlier that you started roasting your own coffee. Like, what's the reason? I know you mentioned it a little bit, but is there any more reason why you wanted to kind of experience that too, that whole side of brewing coffee at home?
Yeah, so I started, like I said, I started roasting because I kind of went super minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just cut out all the costs and decided I was going to learn how to roast on my own. And then around the time I started really getting good at it, then I started like, you know, purchasing more coffees, and now I'm back on Misto Box. Mm-hmm. I get a subscription from them, their new Misto Box 1, one subscription where they actually just send you like one bag of coffee every month or every period of time you sign up for, from a different roaster. So it's not like little samples. It's a whole bag. But I originally started out roasting at home to kind of cut out all of that. And then I started reintroducing it back, as it kind of made sense. But roasting at home has been awesome. You never really know how much work goes into a bag of coffee until you have to like totally demolish it yourself. You know, I've gone through like in the process of learning how to roast your own coffee, like you really do make a lot of mistakes in the beginning and you end up roasting coffee that you'd never ever buy or you'd never gift to a friend. But you know, the process of learning kind of gives you an appreciation for all of the professionals out there who do this for a living, and go through the fussy details of like learning how to profile a certain type of coffee, learning how to, you know, listen for what, you know, smell the coffee at a certain stage, you know, all the timing and science that's involved in it. It's definitely an involved process and you start to get a feel for that, like when you start roasting at home. But if you can start out and like get fairly good at it, I mean, it's definitely a cost savings at the end of the day, to buy green and then get it in. I actually have a lot of friends who roast at home in different ways. So I personally, if you've seen the Instagram post, I show a photo of my Bemore 1600, I love this thing. It's like a toaster oven with a bingo ball tray inside of it. And the coffee just sits around in there and rolls around these two heating elements. And, you know, you have a little bit of control over it. Actually you have a lot of control over it, but, you know, it's fairly simple, but you know, I have friends who have started out with almost no investment at all. Like a buddy of mine who I work with, he actually roasts in a wok.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he's gotten really good at it too. He came in one day with a bag of Harar that he roasted, Ethiopia Harar. And, you know, like Harar is historically like a blueberry laden explosion, right? But you can really do Harar like terribly. I mean, you can go overboard with it, or if you don't take it far enough, sometimes those blueberry notes really just don't pop. And, yeah, he did it with his wok and he brought me in a sample of it. And it's really good.
That's awesome.
So he has a technique. Obviously he's scorched a bunch of, roasts just like everybody has who started out. But, you know, it's definitely that craft of like figuring out the specific device you're roasting with and like how to get the most out of it. Like I have another friend who does, obviously like most people has a modified popcorn popper. That's kind of where a lot of people start.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those air popcorn poppers. And, she roasts with that and she's always kind of a little leery to share her coffee just because she's not super comfortable with it yet. But even what she's able to produce is much better like than what you might get at a grocery store or something like that. But
yeah,
definitely that sort of, you know, it's a learning curve, but it's super fun. I mean, you definitely get much more of an appreciation for the whole process of roasting coffee when you're doing it on your own.
Yeah. And for the listeners, if you are at all interested, the best from what I have seen, and I'm sure Brian can attest to it, is go to sweetmarias.com.
Yeah.
They have like,
I read almost every word on that website when I was trying to stick out.
They have a wealth of information and they are probably the go-to place to buy green beans, I would say too, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I've actually had the opportunity to get green from a few other places. Sweet Maria's is awesome and amazing. There's also some distributors out there like Bodhi Leaf and Coffee Shrub and a few other places that are really geared toward like big giant lots of coffee that they send to full up giant roasters. But even those, sometimes you can go and find like the sample bags from them and get coffee from those guys too. But Sweet Maria is, as like a place to start out, is perfect. And what I really like about Sweet Maria is their catalog and how seriously detailed they are about, you know, what kind of information that they're providing for each green coffee that they have available. I mean, it's ridiculous how much information they put down and even tell you like whether or not it's good as espresso or whether you should probably stick to roasting it at a certain profile for a filter. I mean, they kind of go through all the ins and outs of every coffee and give you a real good idea of like what to do with it, how to treat it, and what notes you should expect to see if you brew it this way or roast it this way or that way.
Yeah, they also have a nice podcast that I forget the founder's name, but he kind of takes you on some trips over to origin, and he pretty much records while he's riding in the back of trucks or out on the farms and just sharing his story from that whole experience of traveling to a farm and sourcing these beans and talking with the farmers. It really is like a kind of a fun experience to join along on, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the piece about coffee that I always find incredible. Like, you know, you go on Instagram, you go on Twitter, you go social media, and you start to follow some of these people who are actually visiting the origins. And I've got like a buddy right now, Perry Chop, the coffee chop on Instagram. He's in Costa Rica right now, taking photos every day, like explaining all the things that he's seeing out there. You know, and just the entire process of coffee is just fascinating to me. You know, cause even if you get a bag of green and you roast it yourself and you brew it yourself and you're doing all these steps that, you know, that really make you feel more connected to the coffee, like there's this whole aspect of like where the coffee came from and how it was grown and the soil conditions and the conditions of the farmers and like all the pieces to that that you just don't get to see necessarily, but you know are there. You know there's contributing factors there that's making the coffee taste a certain way or be available in a certain quantity or be a certain quality. You know that there's things going on there that a farm is doing or that's happening at the origin of the coffee that is contributing to that coffee being awesome. And so, I mean, that kind of like, you know, social media in general, like you're talking about Sweet Maria, is being able to see sort of the backstory of a lot of the coffee, you know, and then you get the thing that's blown me away is brewing a coffee at home and then having the person who roasted or who grew that coffee, somebody who actually works at that farm, send me a message on Instagram and be like, "Hey, I hope you enjoyed the coffee that, you know, that we worked so hard to produce."
Really?
I'm like, this is a crazy small world we have just all with Instagram and like all with Twitter and social media in general. Like, you know, you get these producers who are actually also on social media, the same place you are, and they start, you know, keeping track of how their coffee's being handled out there in the world. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What like Alita Estate is one of, in Panama is one of like the premier, you know, farms out there. And, you know, some of the folks from Alita will actually often will reach out. They're the ones who did the green tip geisha from Verve.
Oh, all right.
I think Brian was going nuts about, and I ended up buying it too. Super amazing coffee. And I've actually had a few coffees from Alita Estate. And all of them have been fantastic. But the crazy thing is actually having like the farmer who works there, who owns the place, send you a message and be like, "I hope you enjoyed our coffee."
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's kind of a funny story because my wife, Stacy, who does most of the writing on our site, actually was able to visit a farm in Honduras when she was working at a coffee shop, and she became friends online with on Facebook with one of the farmers, and like on her birthday every now and then they'll send her like a Facebook message saying happy birthday and they're broken English, and it's just kind of a funny story right there. But it's pretty interesting that I don't know if you've seen a film about coffee. We've mentioned it here before plenty of times, but most of these farmers actually haven't tasted their coffee in certain ways too. Yeah. You know, there's plenty of different aspects that are just pretty mind blowing to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you get to that side of the world and you start seeing that coffee is, you know, is treated as an export and it's really valuable for sending away and selling. You know, you don't see a lot of them keeping the highest quality coffees for themselves. So yeah, you definitely get this sort of distinction between producer and consumer there, and kind of makes you feel a lot worse every time you totally ruin a brew. Like, I sometimes think about that. Like, every time I'm portioning out and weighing out beans for a specific, you know, brew that I'm doing whenever, and it's like, okay, if I mess this up, like, what has just gone in? Well, all the work that went in to this one cup of coffee, thinking about that is just amazing. And that, I guess that's the cool thing about coffee, is it's not just some flippant thing that you throw around and, you know, oh, I just drink like 1,000 cups of coffee every day. It's like, well, yeah, there is something to be said about like taking your time, being respectful of the coffee, figuring out how to treat it as absolutely best as you can. And that kind of comes into some of the factors of like, you know, buying a scale, buying a good quality brewing device, using good quality water, getting a decent grinder that's actually, you know, capable of treating the coffee well, you know, all these, and then practicing, and, you know, and then even when you go into the whole idea of like home roasting and things like that just opens up a whole other, you know, Pandora's box of things to learn and ways to tweak and be fussy with coffee. And
for sure,
it's just cool. I mean, I've always enjoyed it, but then because of all of that, because of all that fussiness and all that science and all that artistry and that whole craft that's involved, like the community that gets, you know, built up around coffee is also really cool, because people are passionate about the coffee itself or the processing itself. And then passionate people kind of find their way into conversations with each other so that they can all kind of be passionate together. And that's where, you know, you end up meeting people that you never would have met had you guys not really enjoyed coffee in the same way.
Exactly. Just,
yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
The whole thing is really, really fascinating to me.
Yeah. I mean, just like you being on this podcast, I probably would have never met you if it wasn't for coffee. I know that's kind of getting a little into it, but I mean, it's like you and Brian, who's been on the podcast, and then our friend Aaron, who's from LA. Like, these are, relationships over coffee that never would have been there elsewise, you know? And
yeah, I had a buddy come to my house. I've never met him before. We follow each other on Instagram a lot and on Twitter. His name's Hank3 on Instagram. And, he showed up to my house like a month ago for the very first time. And the very first conversation we had was, wouldn't this have been weird before the internet? Like, yeah, you know, I'd never met you before. I'd have no idea who you are. Like, come into my house and let's have coffee. Like, you wouldn't probably have done that before the internet. And, yeah, that's just the cool thing about coffee and social media in general, is that connection you have with people.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of to wrap it up, I guess, hopefully anybody listening, like, I know we went pretty nerdy about this stuff and,
but no
hopefully
doubt.
It inspires you to, you know, take a little bit more time with it and, learn and experiment and check out different devices and, reach out to other people and ask their thoughts. And what I've experienced so far, I mean, everybody's willing to help you out to experience a better cup of coffee and, just keep on, brewing. And hopefully, like I said, this episode inspired you to, explore a couple different areas that you haven't, gone yet. So, but, Brian, where can people follow you online?
I am primarily on Instagram, Brian Sheely. On Instagram, and then Brian Sheely on Twitter, BrianSheely.com on my Tumblr. I don't know. I'm around. I tend to spend most of my time on Instagram though.
Awesome. So. We'll be sure to link all those up so people can, follow along and see all these awesome photos. I've been just scrolling through here
cool, man.
Every now and then, just seeing some cool ones of just like the floating Chemex one. That was a while back, but that one.
Yeah, that was awesome. Those guys actually, the official Chemex account actually reposted that, which is pretty cool.
That's cool.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on the show. And, hopefully I haven't scared anyone away too much from tinkering. It's a lot of fun, man. And you can start out in just meager means with little equipment costs and do some great things, or you can make a little bit of investment and tinker away, man.
For just sure.
Go buy a dragon.
There you go. Thanks again for joining us, and take care.